Big win last weekend over UMass. Vanderbilt got a big win over Utah State. Just going through the ranked matchups and making sure we've caught up on everything. Iowa State drilled Arizona as well. But two games that we haven't got the chance to talk about that provided some fireworks in different ways. USC and Illinois was one of the best games of the season. Up at Illinois, the Fighting Illini pulled off a 34-32 victory over Lincoln Riley's Trojans. Maeva and Makai Lemon did literally everything they could to keep them in this game. It was an unbelievable performance by those two, but unfortunately not enough for the Trojans. Game-winning field goal, Luke Altmaier leads that drive, and Illinois survives at home. Any thoughts or takeaways from that game? A good bounce back from Illinois after they just absolutely got smacked the week prior.
It was a great response by Illinois. Honestly, it was a great response by Southern Cal in that game as well, being able to come back after the deficit they were handed a little bit early on. I think both teams should feel comfortable with their quarterbacks. I know there was a lot of debate out in Los Angeles, should Maeva be the guy going into the year? I think without a doubt, absolutely, he has answered the call as the guy there under center for Lincoln Riley. I just still think that's a defense that... It was never going to be a one-year fix. It was going to take some time, and it is certainly in process.
They're starting to leak a little bit of oil on the defensive side of the ball, are the Trojans, but big credit goes to Altmaier and co. for that game-winning drive. As John alluded to, just kind of a double bounce back, right? USC pulls off the comeback, then Illinois gets up off the pine, and they're able to go down and end up winning the game. So big-time stuff for Illinois. And then Notre Dame, Arkansas, I don't want to spend too much time on it because it was a drilling, drubbing, beat down, whatever adjective you want to use.
I mean, you know, first and foremost, give credit to Notre Dame. They went on the road with the right mindset, took care of business, and I mean, that game was over before it started. I hate that we are living in a world now where Bobby Petrino gets to call the shots in Arkansas again. Yeah. I don't like it. There are so many better coaches and better people in the business that he gets another opportunity there. It really makes me sick. However, the positive thing, if you feel like me, about Bobby Petrino is he's going to have the opportunity to coach himself out of this job because they do not have anything favorable coming up. And last time I checked, they've scored, 16 points in two games?
Yeah.
Something like that? Like, the offense hasn't been clicking. So I know yesterday he did the fire everybody on the defensive side of the ball. We've got, you know, analysts that are now position coaches and calling the plays. I think this is a great opportunity and probably a smart move by the Arkansas Athletic Department because he does have a lot of support. And in these next seven games, she's like, all right, fine. You guys want him to have the job? Here you go. We have seen through multiple stops at Louisville. We have seen through this stop the first time around here. Like, he doesn't get a lot of people to rally around him, does not get people to play for him. Maybe one of the most disliked people in the entire sport. So if you're trying to rally the troops here, I just don't see how he does this. Against this slate, with the offense already being as bad as it is, like, I don't think firing the whole defensive staff and getting you a bunch of GAs now calling the defense is going to be what gets Bobby Petrino back this job full time.
Where are the wins? That's just my question.
Right, yeah,
it's like, where are the wins? At Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, at LSU, at Texas, Missouri. That's how Arkansas finishes.
So, like, even before you saw that schedule, what would be the number in your head that he would have to hit in a seven-game stretch?
He needs to win four. He needs to get to a bowl
four
game.
And three?
Yeah, I think that if he goes 4-3 in those seven, where like five of the seven are going to be ranked and he gets to a bowl game and maybe even wins the bowl game, maybe entertain the conversation of giving that role over to him permanently. But I just think for everybody's sake, a fresh start is needed in Fayetteville and you need to just blow it up and go in a new direction. And in all fairness to Pittman, too, it feels important to acknowledge that their athletic director did publicly come out in a press conference and say he did not have the resources adequate to compete in this league. Like,
that's correct.
I think Pittman can coach. I just don't think Arkansas specifically is equipped to be playing big boy ball against the opponents that they're playing.
I think they can because they do have the Walmarts, the Tyson. Like, they have the money. Arkansas has it. The difference between Arkansas and some of these other programs, they really want to fully fund basketball for John Calipari.
Yeah.
Baseball is of huge importance in Arkansas, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But when you have that many competing interests, only so much money to go around. And also, like, when you see what Ole Miss is doing, with a little bit, and I'm sure Arkansas fans believe we can be Ole Miss, what is stopping us from being what Ole Miss is right now? The problem is Ole Miss schedules themselves very easily in the non-conference. Faxon, and your computer in front of you right now, I'll give you a moment to pull this up. If you go to FBS schedules and look up Arkansas's future non-con opponents, they don't do themselves any favors. So, like, you know, we make fun of what Lane Kiffin does, right? And, like, him buying and, you know, complaining about Wake Forest and the Furmans and all that type of stuff. Do you have some of their upcoming opponents in the non-con in front of you?
Yeah, so 2026, North Alabama at Utah, Tulsa. 2027 at Tulsa, Oklahoma State. 2028, Memphis at Notre Dame. 2029, Tulsa and Utah.
Okay, this is my point. If you are trying to become what Ole Miss is, which is 8-9 wins every single year, why are you going to Utah? Why are you going to Memphis?
Yeah, why are you going to Notre Dame?
Right, exactly.
Why are you playing Texas Tech in Las Vegas in 2030?
There's no reason to do that.
Yeah, schedule.
You have a 9-game SEC schedule coming up. So, like, I think that there's a lot of things at Arkansas that they just need to figure it out. And I don't think it's because Sam Pittman couldn't coach football. He inherited the mess that Chad Morris created, and within, 2 years, got him to 9 wins?
Yeah.
Like, the man could coach a ball.
And he had talented play. Like, Taylen Green's the only reason this offense is as dynamic as it is. He got some talent. He developed some quarterbacks.
Sure.
Like, he had a hand in that.
Go look at his first coaching staff that he was able to keep together for multiple seasons with Barry Odom and Kendall Briles.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, one of the few coaches for a couple seasons who could retain his entire staff. So, I don't really know how Arkansas is going to, like, what they're going to do from a coach. I have no idea. None of us know. But I do think this is good timing by Arkansas. And as much as I cannot stand the man, we have seen that Bobby Petrino, since he left Arkansas the first time, when he doesn't have Lamar Jackson as his quarterback, he as a head coach is awful. So this is a great opportunity to quiet all of those fans who still believe that Bobby Petrino is the answer.
Yeah, I don't think he's the answer.
I don't either, but those with money who were around in 2011 when he took them to the Sugar Bowl,
yeah,
some of those do.
There's still belief there. Texter gets in and asks about Franklin losing another big game. We talked about Oregon Penn State a lot yesterday, but you know, it just at some point you are who you are, right? And Dan Lanning, in all fairness, has not been a great big game coach throughout the course of his career either. Like, really, last year when they were able to get the championship win over Penn State and they were able to get the win over Ohio State in the regular season, those are really the two signature wins of his career. And up until that point, remember, they had three different opportunities or whatever to beat Washington and end up going to the college football playoff. They blew, they blew both of them. And they lost both of those games. Like, Lanning really just shedded that narrative last year. But him getting that win is pretty big for that program and pretty big for Oregon's outlook this season, because when you look at Oregon's schedule, yeah, they have to play Indiana. Their opponents outside of that are Rutgers, Wisconsin, at Iowa, Minnesota, USC, and at Washington. Like, they have two warm body opponents left on the schedule in Indiana and Washington, and they should be able to handle business in both of those. So
I cannot wait for the press conferences that week of Indiana and Oregon.
Signetti versus Lanning.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
It is, for sure. But yeah, I mean, we've continued to kind of run through a lot of these games from the past weekend. I thought it was a good slate. I thought it delivered. It lived up to expectations. A couple that we haven't necessarily talked about to the fullest, Louisville-Pittsburgh. I know we mentioned it in passing yesterday. How did Pitt blow this? Like, I didn't watch this game, just to be completely honest. I had no interest in watching
your
this
Wake
game.
Forest Demon Deacons were of trying course. To take down your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So I understand you were emotionally torn for a couple hours there.
It was the Faxon Bowl in Winston-Salem. I had to tune into that. Haynes King versus gracious. Robbie Ashford in the battle of can't complete a 10-yard pass. Well, but in all seriousness, how did they blow? They were up 17 points and lost?
That is correct. Eli Holstein, quarterback of Pittsburgh, is a very good reason as to why they lost that football game.
Goodness me. 17-0 in the second quarter of this game, and then Pitt scores 10 points the rest of the game. Goodness me. Interception by Holstein here in the fourth quarter. Then you turn the ball over on downs. Then you throw another interception.
Like I said, Eli Holstein, quarterback at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Was not his best performance.
Yeah.
I think it also just took a little bit of time for Louisville to get settled into this game. I was a little surprised by how slow of a start it was, but you know, you give credit to Pitt's defense. I mean, you talk to him in the preseason, like Kyle Lewis is a darn good football player. Like they've got some good players on that side of the ball, and they kind of baited Louisville into some stuff early. But you know, the better team, water found its level, and they got out with a nice road win. It was gritty though.
Pitt held them to 34 carries for 53 rushing yards and lost the game. I don't really know how that's possible, but shout out to Louisville, Miller Moss, some good, some bad, made the throws, made the plays when he needed to, and ultimately that was a wrap in an ACC clash. Another ACC clash, I know we hit this in passing yesterday as well, but wanted to wrap back to Duke and Syracuse. Are you taking anything away from this one? How impactful is Angeli's injury here? And because I think this severely hinders the ceiling of this team going forward.
Absolutely. No, I thought based on the way that he was cooking in Death Valley with those receivers that, yeah, he would, I mean, continue the hot streak as one of the better passers in the country. With some of those playmakers, I just think Ricky Collins is very limited from a throwing the football standpoint. And we have to give Duke a lot of credit here. Like, they went on the road against a team that was feeling great about themselves. And just walked in their building and didn't care about it.
They decimated them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very impressed by what Duke did here. I mean, the fact that you finally have somebody in Nate Shepard really toting the rock for this team, I think is going to be a big help for them. I think they're still trying to figure out who they are and what they are.
Yeah.
I think it's taken a little more time than maybe Duke fans wanted to get Mensah and the staff and everybody just fully on the same page. You know, how do you get better at football? By playing football. And I think it took Duke a couple of weeks. I think that Illinois game was probably the best thing that could have happened to Duke. Yeah. I think Manny Diaz and the staff have used that very well and spinning it forward.
And they kind of refocused there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was one of those, like, it was almost not a sigh of relief because you lost a football game in a very bad fashion, but more like, okay, we got that out of the way. Let's regroup, focus on what we are good at, and go out there and execute it.
Cal went on the road and got a late thrilling win over Boston College. Elsewhere in the ACC, JKS turned up down the stretch. Logger and really struggled. It's the first we've seen of BC struggling, but it is worth noting that Turbo Richard went 15 carries for 171 yards and two touchdowns, 11.4 a clip, and they still couldn't manage to carry that to a win up in Chestnut Hills. So obviously, Clemson's got a primetime game playing Boston College here in a couple weeks. They fall to 1-3, 0-2 in ACC play, and their losses are to Cal and Stanford. That's a must-win for Clemson, no matter how you cut it.
Must-win is Saturday.
Yes.
Must-win is Saturday. We have all of next week to do the Boston College game. I got to beat North Carolina. Got to beat North Carolina this week.
Yeah, there's not going to be a better chance to get right in back-to-back spots than UNC and BC, so you have to take care of business this week. Then you have to translate that momentum, hopefully, and carry it to the next week and see if we can get these Tigers rolling. We had Gamecock James call in yesterday briefly, but we didn't really get too deep into the weeds. Are you taking anything away from a learning experience from South Carolina, Kentucky? I don't really think there's a whole lot to this game. I think Kentucky sucks out loud, and I think South Carolina, we know what this team is. When they get a special teams touchdown, when they get the defense flying to the football, you know, they can compete with anybody in the country, but offense still remains a big question, and run game still remains a big weakness.
Well, I also think it goes to show that maybe don't ever, if you're a coach on the other sideline, don't maybe call out Beamer ball. Don't mention Frank Beamer by name ever.
Yeah.
Shane Beamer's online. He knows that stuff and uses it to his advantage. Also, I don't think it takes much to get Shane Beamer fired up for the Kentucky game. These two coaching staffs have not exactly liked each other over the last few years. But I thought Kentucky's the worst team in the league. However, South Carolina did exactly what you're supposed to do when the worst team in the league comes into your building. You have a get-right spot. You have a night game. You crank up Sandstorm. You score some points, man. Sellers going 11 of 14 for 153 and then running 80 yards is the perfect recipe for a feel-good night in Columbia.
Yeah.
He did exactly what you needed to do to go into the bye week and try to propel this team forward.
Just go out there and hammer the worst team in your league and take that momentum and translate it. That's the goal for South Carolina right now down in Columbia. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to shift gears to a little NFL talk on the other side. Then we'll do some Clemson talk to lead up to the Sweeney press conference in the final segment of the hour. Faxon and John continuing with Facts on Sports here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Stick with us.
You can feel it in the air. Football is back. And the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1 to play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football, man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be new? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantycanfixit.com.
In 1977, Bo started frying chicken so full of real Southern flavor, folks are still talking. They say it's the bold seasoning and hand breading that make our chicken the crispiest, the juiciest, the Carolina legend. Legends last, but this $5.99 leg and thigh deal won't. It's Bo time.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
This is where it starts. Where your story begins. This is the trail you blaze yourself. And step by step, you get stronger, faster, better. This is where it starts. How will you finish? Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rack Room Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers!
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed. Which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credits plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Hour number two of the program continues with Faxon and John right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adam's Goat Roofing text line is open. We're going to hop into some NFL talk. Then in the upcoming segment, we're going to go Clemson leading right up to Sweeney. 654-ROAR if you want to check in on some NFL. John, we ran through a couple of these games yesterday, but I enjoyed myself watching NFL Sunday this past weekend. Jackson Dart's first career win is where I want to start. They get a win over the Chargers. I didn't think, again, he didn't look like a world beater. 13 for 20, 111 yards and a touchdown. He ran it 10 times for 54 yards and another touchdown. Cam Scataboo had another really good game, 25 carries, 79 yards. Again, it's not flashy, but that's what they need. They need that toughness in New York. The defense showed up and stifled Justin Herbert, who his MVP case has lasted a new world record 3 weeks this week for Justin Herbert. So that was fun while it lasted, and now back to reality and what that's shown us over the course of the years. But in all seriousness, first one for the Giants, and maybe Brian Daboll saves his job with this Jackson Dart thing. I don't know. Good start.
It's a good start, obviously. Yesterday, the news came out that Malik Nabers, wide receiver one for the Giants, tore his ACL. He is out for the year, so I think there's a little bit of... What a roller coaster of emotions for Giants fans over 24 hours that you finally feel like this is the beginning of the start of a new era, and then your best piece on offense goes down. I liked what I saw. I think you saw a team respond fairly well behind it. So I'm optimistic about it. Now, I don't think they're going to win a ton of football games. I don't think that the slate upcoming for the Giants is going to be all that favorable for them, but I do think this could be enough to save his job, and because I do believe Brian Daboll, is still from like a play calling schematic mind, one of the better ones in the NFL. He just happens to coach the New York Giants.
Yeah, and he hasn't been given a great situation by any means with quarterback and roster and
the GM hasn't been very good on the offensive side of the ball. They've been very good at accumulating talent on the defensive side of the ball, and they continue to do so. That offense has been disjointed from a personnel. It's why I agree with the old Bill Belichick way of thinking in the NFL of, if I'm going to bake the cake, let me go get the ingredients. Because I don't feel like there has been a lot of unison in the front office there in New York between Daboll and the front office of, this is what I need for what I am trying to do, versus here are the players, go make something happen. I just feel like that has been... disjointed. They've been very good at drafting and through free agency and things like that, putting together pieces on the defensive side of the ball. It has just felt very disjointed on the offensive end.
You can't win if your front office doesn't have alignment with the viewpoint of your head coach, at least from, and it doesn't even always have to be about scheme, but like there needs to be some level of agreement with what your GM thinks about football and what your head coach thinks about football.
Right, absolutely.
What profile players they're looking for, and also just look at the investment on defense versus the investment on offense since Daboll got to New York. I would blindly guess it's been 2 to 3x on defense what it's been on offense.
It feels that way.
Yes.
It feels that way. I don't have anything in front of me that can confirm or deny that notion, but it certainly feels that way.
I like the Giants. I think this is a good football team that's kind of suffered some really bad breaks without Nabers. It goes without saying that completely changes the complexion of this team going forward. So,
but to be fair to the Giants here, if you're a Giants fan listening, in the game where you got your first win, where Jackson Dart One UA football game. Malik Nabers only had 2 catches on 3 targets for 20 yards.
That is true.
Like, he was not... I would feel much worse about his growth development. Grant, we only have one game as a sample size here, so it's very tough to accurately read this. But I would feel much better about the Giants moving forward than if you came out of this game where Nabers had 6 receptions on 7 targets for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, right? Like, where it was all Jackson Dart just throwing it straight.
Ball.
Yeah. Like, just like to the stats that you've given about Cade Klubnik and Antonio Williams, right? Like, it wasn't just all I'm looking directly for one and only throwing it to one.
Yeah.
So I do believe that you're it's not as bad as it could be, but you never want to lose somebody like Malik Nabers on your football team.
I was definitely shocked that Harbaugh abandoned the run game as early as 41 passing attempts and just 13 rushes for a Harbaugh coach team is obscene, especially when it comes to the fact that you were getting 11.7 yards per carry for the Chargers. Omarion Hampton, 12 carries, 128 yards and a touchdown, 10.7 yards a carry.
Do you think, and like I said yesterday, after the Steelers game was over, like, I did not consume a ton of NFL. But was this one of those where, because of the Najee Harris injury, that they just don't have another back that they feel comfortable going to?
Maybe that's part of it.
Because outside, I mean, Herbert had, like, the one nice run, but other than that, it was just Omarion Hampton.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, that's tough to ask of a rookie in a close game on the road to go for, like, 20 carries when you're not getting a lot of help on the other end. So I just wonder, is that more of a... Because Najee Harris is out, I would like to know what their splits would look like if he was fully healthy, which he's not.
Texter got in about the Panthers, said, Faxon, what's up with Bryce and the Panthers? I love him, but he had some terrible throws on Sunday. I think Canales is the guy, but we need to do something. We're trending in the right direction. I think health is playing a big part in this right now. Like, there's no excuse to lose by 30 in any game, but, you know, again, the guys that are leading the team in targets outside of T-Mac, who's your first-round pick, Tommy Tremble, Bryson Tremaine, Mitchell Evans, Chuba Hubbard, James Mitchell, Hunter Renfrow, Rico Dowdle. Like, you're not winning like that. They need Coker back desperately. They should have never traded Thielen. And they need some, like, 3 offensive line starters down. And the backups have played a little bit better. I think Cade Mays needs to be the center going forward. Defensively was where I was more disappointed. But again, like...
And special teams wasn't good either.
You gave up 2 punt return touchdowns in a game that completely changed the dynamic of the game. Well, you're up 6-0. You have all the momentum. You're in plus territory for the second straight drive. You gave up an 88-yard punt return touchdown. And there was never any response. Like, you just completely quit in the second quarter.
They did. But how much of it also, to give credit to the opposition here, which we can do because Grayson Mann's not here today, was just like the Patriots responding well after the loss to the Steelers?
Because,
I mean...
I think it's a part of it.
You have... I just want to... I'm not saying that, you know, Carolina is without blame. You allowed 42 points. There's plenty of blame to go around. But I wonder if you also just caught the Patriots on a very bad day at home after a game that they felt like they should have won if it wasn't for Ramondre Stevenson.
I also think with the Panthers, an element of this, too, is, like, it is a limited sample size, but even last year, this team just doesn't travel well, and they don't play well on the road, man. Like, they just don't play well on the road. They feel like they start slow on the road in pretty much every game. They go into halftime down on the road in pretty much every game they play. And again, I don't think Bank of America is some ridiculous home field advantage. It's usually half empty, no offense, Panthers fans. But there's clearly a difference between Bryce Young's confidence level playing at home versus on the road. I don't know how to sort that out.
Something as simple as waking up in his own bed.
Yeah, like, he was very clearly frustrated on the sidelines, as I thought he should have been. Like, again, the Panthers outgained the Patriots in this game. And when you look at the Patriots just box score, 29 carries as a team for 104 yards at 3.6 yards per carry. You hear those numbers in the pregame, you feel like you have a good chance to win. You can't give up a 14-point-plus swing on the special teams game with 2 punt return touchdowns
right. That
both come in quick succession to put you in a 1-score hole and then a 2-score hole immediately and expect to win the football game. So special teams has to be better in Carolina. Bryce Young has to be better. I do think the number one priority with this team is getting healthy. And for what it's worth, like, we mentioned about getting teams at a good spot. I think this is a really good spot for the Panthers next week, hosting a Dolphins team that just won their first game, and they lost their number one wide receiver in Tyreek Hill as well. Like, if there is a get-right spot for the Panthers on the schedule this year, it is this week against the Dolphins. This is a must-win game if you want to be a team that's in the conversation for a wild card spot or even in the conversation to get into 500 as the end of the season approaches. You have to beat the Dolphins this upcoming week, and I actually think this is a pretty big game for Canales as well, man, because, like, We have seen Tepper does not have an extremely long leash with a lot of these coaches. You lose to one of the worst teams in football, and you lose to the 1-3 Dolphins, and all of a sudden you got the Cowboys coming to town, and they're 1-2-1. You got the Jets who are 0-4. While these feel like winnable opportunities and games, this also, you have to look at the other side of the coin, which is if you dump these games to a bunch of crap teams, your coach is getting fired. Like, your coach is getting fired if you lose the next three games.
Yeah, you dump these game to crap teams, you're a crap team.
Exactly. So, like, this is identity. This is soul-searching. This is where you find out what your football team is. If you can beat the Dolphins, have a good showing against the Cowboys, go on the road, beat the New York Jets, this whole season could be looking completely different in 3 weeks' time if you're 4-3. But on the inverse, 1-6 isn't out of play. It just isn't. Carolina hasn't shown us enough to earn that level of trust with me thus far, and they also haven't been healthy enough. You go down three starters on the O-line, you're down two big-time receivers, you're down a tight end, you're down a lot of the dudes on defense as well, a couple linebackers, a couple secondary pieces. Get healthy. And there's not a team in the league that needs a bye week more than this one right now, and unfortunately for them, they've got two late byes, it appears. So kind of a brutal break there for the Carolina Panthers. Mm. Not great times. Not great times for sure.
Speaking of not great times, can you explain to me what's going on in Baltimore?
Yeah, they're 1-3, man. This was like a vintage Mahomes performance, and Mahomes owns Lamar and the Ravens. Oh my gosh, like this is a father-son type thing between the Kansas City QB and the Baltimore QB. I said it last week that Lamar was just about as bad as I've ever seen him. That continued this way. He has no trust in that offensive line, and he's reverted back to year one, year two, happy feet Lamar that's forcing the ball a lot and bailing from the pocket and doing a lot of just bad quarterback things.
How much do you make of it of an injury?
I think there's a chance he's playing hurt, and like we saw Rush come into this game, and we saw him like grimacing on the sidelines when the camera would pan to him in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of it is injury related, because like even when he's in the pocket, what we've seen from him like with this monumental growth has been elite passing traits. Those have just completely gone by the wayside in the last two games. I don't know what's up with him. I don't know what's up with Lamar. I'm not sure. I don't know what the answers are here, but don't write off the Chiefs. This is why I wasn't throwing the funeral for the Chiefs like a couple listeners were and a couple callers were a couple weeks back, because I'm picking those guys until I see otherwise with Mahomes, and I'm never counting them out of the mix. So big game from Mahomes, big game from Worthy, big game from Kelce. Ravens have some soul searching to do, because they're giving up 40 points a game every time they roll the ball out right now.
Well, if they do that this week, then I expect some people to lose their jobs, because they're hosting the Houston Texans.
Oh, the Texans are trash, too.
They're very bad, so it's a good get right, which they are going to need, because after that they host the Rams.
Texter gets in and says, I was more disappointed with Green Bay's performance against Dallas. What NFC team is going to step up and challenge Philly? Minnesota's banged up right now. I mean, I got to get Detroit looks like the healthiest. I think health is a big part of this for both Minnesota and Green Bay going forward. But Green Bay, like, I just don't know what happened on defense. I think they kind of got sucked into playing the crack ball that Dallas likes to play, which is we're going to play every game in the 30s and you're going to like it. And Dallas does a really good job of playing games on their terms. I got to give them that. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but it's certainly what happens nonetheless. And also in the NFL, we need to make sure we mention the Rams 27, the Colts 20, the feel-good story of Indiana Jones came to an end finally. But the Rams continue to just be really, really darn good.
Yep.
Man, Puka Nacua is awesome.
You want to talk about teams challenging Philly? That's the one that scares me the most out of all of them. That's the one team I don't want to line up again when playoff time comes.
Do you want to know why the Colts lost this game? It's pretty simple.
Adonai Mitchell is a big part of it.
Well, your words, not mine. I'm going to go with number 8 on the roster, Rigoberto Sanchez, who had 4 punts for 209 yards, averaging 52.3. You can't let him punt 4 times a game.
No.
You're the Colts. You were kicking butt when you didn't let him punt, and now you send this guy out here. Things starts falling apart. In all seriousness, the Rams are just, in my opinion, you want to know who's the team that's going to challenge the Eagles?
Yeah.
They may have lost that game a couple weeks ago. I still think the Rams are a better team than the Eagles.
That it's a matchup that's bad for us for sure.
And that is every single game in the NFL slate. We have not missed one. I think we've covered every metric. We've covered everything. So there is not one team or one franchise that we haven't covered. I think we have done a very good job in the last 2 days covering everything that is of relevance in the National Football League.
I'll say one thing on our metrics check. Somebody's got to pull Ashton Jeansey to the side and tell him this is a business. And if he gets that deflated after losing games for the Raiders, it's going to be a long career in Vegas, brother. Sometimes you just got to realize the situation you're in. Enjoy that 3-touchdown game, my man. Like, somebody's got to pull him to the side, seriously. I saw a funny account on Twitter and John Rivers quote that tweet and say that. And, like, obviously, like, we're joking, right? Because people should care about winning. But at the same time, the Raiders, man. I mean, gosh almighty. Is there any way out of this mess, short or long term, in Vegas?
Yeah. Stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan. Pete Carroll's had, 1-3?
Yeah, they've had four.
They've
games.
Had four games. I would like to see the Raiders actually settle on a coach, quarterback, and play caller for a little while. You have Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll in there in that building. I don't think they've forgotten how to coach football. I think it's a Jimmy's and Joe's issue that you're dealing with the Raiders team that you need several drafts of fixing and correcting.
You got to get that O-line sorted out. Like, absolutely have to get that O-line sorted out. That's the first priority, because they're going to get Geno killed if they don't. And Jeansey, for what it's worth, he switched to the upright style of running again, and he had the best game of his career, 21 carries, 138, and a touchdown. He also caught 2 touchdowns through the air on the 2 passes for 17 yards. So, stock up for Jeansey. Shout out to him. And yeah, that's all we got to say about that game. All right, quick break here on the program where you get to Bill and Traveler's Rest on the other side and shift gears to some Clemson football leading up to the Sweeney Presser on a Tuesday.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the mid-300,000s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space with luxury selections available, or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise.
Hey y'all, Robert Kraft here, owner of New Teak Boutique, here to tell you about something new. Four Men on Exchange, a men's specialty shop on the square in downtown Pendleton, just across the street from New Teak Boutique. From gifts to men's and women's wear, we've got you covered head to toe. Window shop, shop for yourself, or for a friend. We're just glad you're here. Find Four Men on Exchange on Facebook and Instagram for updates and more. Four Men on Exchange, on the square in downtown Pendleton. We look forward to seeing you soon.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyatt continues right here on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Texters are getting in about the Tyreek Hill injury. Wouldn't expect him back this season in any scenario, to be honest with you. So hope everything's good with Tyreek and he can get back ASAP, but yeah. Another texter gets in and says, don't even pretend that the Panthers might be a good team if they beat the Dolphins. Yeah, no, they're not a good team. The goal this year is to be a building block team and to take the step in the right direction. 7 or 8 wins would be a massive success in Carolina. I think there's a path to get there with what the schedule showcases, because you have to be able to be average to decent before you can be good to great. And that's something we've seen in the National Football League for a long time. Take the Eagles, for example, 9-8 one year with a really bad roster, able to backdoor into the playoffs, got blown out by Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, but took that experience, valued it, and then made the Super Bowl the next year. So it's a building block year for Carolina for sure, and their goal is going to be to get to 8 or 9 wins. All right, Clemson football talk for the remainder of the hour, starting with Bill in Traveler's Rest. Bill, we appreciate the phone call.
Hey, guys. Sorry to change it over from the pro stuff. I quit watching pros years ago, but another story for another day. Like a lot of folks, I've been really stressing over trying to figure out what's wrong with the Tigers. And I love Dabo Swinney. I say that, and I stand behind him. But I saw a texter the other day, a message that got me thinking and on something I'd seen but not registered, and that was, even running down the hill, it seems to be more of a commodity, if you will, than what it used to be, which is guys fired up screaming down the hill and just an overall lack of effort. So I wanted to throw a couple thoughts out. And one was, coach, just sit those guys, those 5-star, 4-star guys that aren't showing effort. Let those other guys play. And you know what? What do you think about just telling them, hey, you're not going to run down the hill until you give that 110%, like Coach Howard used to say, give me 110% or keep your filthy hands off my rock.
Yeah.
And that's what I think's missing, is that edge. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. And it just, there just doesn't seem to be any fire, except from a few guys that aren't really getting a chance to shine. Want to just get your thoughts, and I'll be quiet and listen.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in with us, Bill. Thanks for the phone call, brother, and you're welcome anytime on the program. You know that. Hope Bill has a great rest of his day. All right, I know a lot of people have been kind of soft launching the topic of, you know, hindering Clemson's ability to run down the hill as, I guess, for lack of a better term, a punishment for this start. I don't think that's the right way to address this situation personally. Again, these are still 18 to 22-year-olds. Publicly embarrassing them by stripping them of a tradition that they all signed up under the presumption they were going to be able to participate in. Not the route that I would go. I do get the logic, not the route that I would choose personally. And also, if I'm being completely honest with you guys, I don't think that's the most effective route. I think Bill hit the most effective route in his phone call. Sit your butt on the bench. That's where I would gear my, I guess, solution to lack of effort at times. If I'm Coach Sweeney, again, he's been doing it a long time. I'm not a football coach, but the best motivator in sports is the bench and sitting your butt down on the bench and having to answer for what you've done on the field. So, yeah, I think from here on out, especially with the scenario that you're staring down the barrel of, which is 1-3, and you know the majority of your goals seem out of reach, being conference championship and national championship, which are the goals of this program every year, it doesn't seem overly likely, in my opinion, that there's going to be mass changes on the depth chart. But I do think that you're going to start to see an increased willingness to substitute within games. And I think you're going to see a quicker leash on some guys. And I think that's fair to say. So, John, what are your thoughts on Bill's phone call in totality and just kind of the running down the hill versus the benching type of thing?
So I apologize. I was on the phone there for a good bit of that phone call. He was discussing the lack of changes on the depth chart.
Yeah, he was talking about lack of effort and saying that essentially maybe a solution could be to not run down the hill until effort is given. And then kind of further that point was saying, could we start to see some people that are benched? And do you think that's the right method?
I think that does traction on message boards. I think that is an incredibly slippery slope.
I agree.
I think that your school traditions are your school traditions. You don't change your school traditions based on effort, in my personal opinion. In terms of the depth chart, I am not surprised that you don't see anything changed, because in the day and age in which we are, what advantage does it give you? What advantage does it give you by changing things up on the piece of paper that North Carolina has access to? If you're going to make personnel changes in terms of who's the first 11 running out there or the next set of guys or however you want to look at it, then I would think coming off of a bye week, you project everything as status quo. Because why would you want to tip your hand?
Yeah.
Like I understand the fan nature of wanting to know everything that's going on inside that building, because you and I also want to know everything that's going on inside that building. But I feel like I believe Tristan Smith's going to see a lot more opportunities this week. I don't need the depth chart to tell me that going into it. Because how much of depth charts are smoke and mirrors anyways?
Exactly.
Playing games publicly.
You don't want to tip your hand for no reason when there's no real incentive behind doing it. Especially off of a bye week.
Correct. Like, you want to keep everything under wraps and then go out and unveil it. I think it would be kind of nuts to come out here from a printed depth chart or from a Tiger Hour or to a press conference today to sit here and say, unless it's like incredibly definitive, like what personnel moves you're making. So that way that gives North Carolina a couple of days to react. I just because you don't see it happen publicly does not mean that it's not happening.
I also agree with that. Texter gets in and says, do you have a percentage of snaps for TJ Parker this year versus last year? Is he seeing the field as much as last year? Feels like a guy that has to ride the bench. I get where you're coming from. I don't have a specific snap number. Actually, I do. I'm on PFF right now. I don't know why I'm lying. Give me 1 second. I don't have the first four games from last year. TJ Parker has played 199 snaps through four games per PFF's charting. Avion Terrell, for example, who's your CB1 that's going to play pretty much every snap, he's played 260. Peter Woods has played 215. Will Helt's played 175. And then some your other edges, Denhoff's played 93. And then scrolling down here, looking for more edges, Jaheim Lawson's played 102. So that's kind of where things are at on the defensive end depth chart right now. Peter Woods and at defensive tackle is going to dominate the snaps. TJ Parker's going to dominate the snaps on edge. Nothing surprising there. Another texter gets in and says, what are the odds of Vezina hitting the portal at the end of the season? I think that the portal conversation is a fair one to have at the end of the year. I think for now, you got to focus on the 8 games. It's probably fair to say that there's going to be some departures to the transfer portal. That's applicable to everybody in the country, but like when you start to hone in on players specifically, like massive things can change overnight, right? Like, again, knock on wood and God forbid, what if Cade Klubnik gets injured and Christopher Vezina rips off 7 great games? That could happen. In that instance, my answer would be a lot different from what it is in current day and age, right? So it's just,
sure,
we have so many different variables and different ways the 8 games can go that specific player portal projections are kind of pointless in my eyes.
Right, and I don't think it does anybody any good right now to do that. Now, if we get here to, you know, the week of the Furman game right before South Carolina, be like, do you think this guy's going to hit the portal based on like 10 games of data?
Yes, then yeah.
Then I think that's a very fair conversation, but we've played 4 games and we're coming out of the first bye week.
Nobody's bowl eligible yet. Like, nobody in the country has 6 wins. So I don't know, man. Like, it's difficult to project. Like, people could still hit the portal. People could still hit the portal right now. You could take your redshirt year at certain programs in the country if you've had your bye week, and you could still get in that portal right now. So there's a lot of different things about that. But yeah, let's have the Vezina conversation a little bit down the road, and let's see if we see him against some warm bodies on the other side before we dive too deep in the weeds on that. Another texter gets in and says, why is FSU ranked over USF when USF defeated 2 road teams? I'm going to stop in the middle of the sentence there. Don't pay attention to the AP poll. It's biased and it's borderline rigged. Don't pay attention to it. I don't have a logical answer that's going to make you feel better. I think just about every ranking, that thing is garbage.
The playoff poll comes out in, like, what, a month?
Yeah, wait for the playoff poll. Don't get mad over the AP poll. That's what they want. They're trying to incite a reaction. They want clicks. So that would be my advice there.
Well, it's also just not a fair, accurate representation, truly, of ranking teams. We talked about it some yesterday. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, we can ask Chapel Fowler this tomorrow when he's on the show with us. Like, what all entails of a game day for a beat writer? Because I would like to know how many hours, and I don't believe Chapel is an AP voter, but I would like to know what it takes for him in the course of a game day. And the reason I bring that up is all these guys who are AP voters are beat writers for other teams to show how little time they actually have to watch other games.
Yep.
Like, I can just speak for my example on a game day. It's a very, very long day putting on a Clemson football production. Like, there are screens here in the building, and I can have my eyes on certain things, but I'm not watching a lot of games.
Right. I mean, and then for me as well, like, I have to be there 4 hours before kickoff doing the Tiger Tailgate Show for the 3 hours leading up to the game. So if Clemson's playing any time other than noon, guess what I'm doing? Missing games. I can't, like, we do our best to keep tabs on everything. And then during the Clemson game, I obviously have to be paying attention to the Clemson game. Then you have the whole hour and a half process to get down to post game and then get with Sweeney and get his commentary on everything. So, like,
and that doesn't include if there's a lightning delay because we're playing at home.
Exactly.
You have to navigate that for an hour and a half.
So, like, if you work in the media, like, and this is just for me personally, everybody's got their different way. I use Sunday morning as a large part, like, to do catch-up work on what I miss. Like, I wake up at 7 pretty much every day regardless. I usually go online church because my friends are pastors in Georgia. I try and show some love to them and their services. So I'll pull up film on my laptop, and then I'll throw the service on the projector. That's usually what I do on Sunday mornings and try and catch up on all the games I missed. Because it's like, it's just impossible, John. Like, I'm sure you know too. And then the worst is where you get like two banger games that are in the same slate. And it's like, oh my gosh. And the worst is when that's at the same time as Clemson, because that becomes pretty much impossible to, like, process that in real time. So my Saturdays look a lot different than y'all's. And I would say the AP poll deserves a little bit of grace from that perspective as well. But at the same time, we need to get, like, clowns like that lady who's coming out saying that she didn't even watch the games like that, or is not making any effort. That needs to stop. We definitely need to have more of a vetting process with the AP poll. But John, we had a question on the text line that I kind of want to bridge us to Sweeney with. A texter got in and asked, what do we want to hear from Dabo Sweeney today during the press conference? I think that's a really good and a really interesting question, considering what the season has showcased thus far, you know, what the tape has shown us thus far, and then what the demeanor with this football team has been on and off the field the last couple of weeks. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm just curious to hear about the response of the bye week and kind of how, where everybody's at coming back. You know, we talked about it some last week. I thought one of the things that this team desperately needed at this part of the season was to step away for a day or two, to go home, to get off campus, to not have a meeting, to not have anything to do with Clemson football. And I want to know, does that, like, I know for me, for, like, I needed the bye week to kind of just step away and do stuff around the house and, you know, be with my kid and do all that kind of stuff. Like, and I felt very good coming in here yesterday. Like, did the bye week have that same effect on the team? I'm very curious to hear just kind of what their mentality is coming off of a time where they had the opportunity to go and take a step back and reflect. And also, what was the work put in last week during the practices when you weren't prepping for a game? What were those practices, those meetings, and things like?
Yeah, I kind of want to hear.
But then again, all the things that I really want to know about this team will start to be answered on Saturday afternoon. You know.
Texter gets in and says, I want to hear what changes are being made to ensure a different outcome in the next game. I think that's fair to a certain extent, yeah.
I think that's fair, but while also knowing, I just don't believe he's going to tell you, like, exactly schematically what they're going to beat North Carolina.
We're not, like, getting game plan tips.
Right. You know, I hope there's more to do about the football and less to do about the Dabo Belichick of it all.
Agreed. And I also would just like to hear, I don't know about Cade specifically, but I want to hear about the leadership infrastructure of this team. I want to hear what those conversations have been like behind closed doors. I want to leave the Dabo Swinney presser today feeling encouraged that this football team can turn things around and salvage something from this season. I want this to be an 8 or a 9-win football team. I think that should be everybody's hope at this point, is that you find a way to turn around and win 7 of your last 8, or you win all 8. And right now, that doesn't seem super realistic with the way that Clemson's played. We know that the talent level is in place. We haven't seen the execution, combination of poor play and play below standard from some of your star players. There's some coaching that definitely deserves blame in that as well. So you got a chance to hit the reset button. That's what the bye week serves for. You got 3 games before your next bye. All are very winnable for the Tigers. So stay tuned as Dabo Swinney's coming up at the top of the hour with his weekly press conference, getting you prepped for that game against North Carolina up in Chapel Hill.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens.